Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I'm excited for you to join me on this Monday evening. We are going to talk about a simple question. Simple as it can be, what more can I do? Now, seems simple enough, right? Well, of course not. Where would be the fun in that? We're going to take a simple question and look at it in four ways. As a plea, as a frustration, as a self-reflection, and as an exploration. My goal, as always with this show, is to constantly evolve, challenge, and question life's perceptions. You can live a different life just by looking through a different lens. So open your mind and push your perception. Adopt a positive alternative to life's little challenges. That is encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. So, what more can I do? How do you hear that question? Are you throwing up your hands and pleading with your maker? What more can I do? Are you wanting an answer, some validation, or a task list? You really can look at this question in so many different ways. Maybe you're stuck, uninspired, wanting to feel something profound and being a part of something meaningful. I mean, negativity is all around us. We know this, right? You can't turn on the TV, scroll through your social media feeds without seeing negativity and kind of feeling that weight of the world. Are you tired of the same thing day in, day out? Same routine, same reaction, same feeling. Are you looking to impact on a greater level? Well, that's what motivated me a couple of years ago. That's what motivated me. I have always been driven, goal-oriented, successful, I would say, in business, but I wanted something more. I wanted to feel more and feel more connected in a positive way. And that's when I reached out and started working with other people and learning more about the power of encouragement, the difference it can make on your life and those around you just by connecting and encouraging someone else. You know, I've always been a really positive person, and I wanted to take that, harness it, and really use it for the good. You know, you have an opportunity, just like I did and do, to make an impact every day. And guess what? It's free. It's free to encourage someone else. And it's easy if you step outside yourself and start noticing life around you. Notice the good and the bad. You know, really take that 50,000 foot glance at what's going on in the world. Not just, I always like to say, not just the on the ground machete through the jungle type approach, but really get above that aerial view so you can take a look at what's going on. Instead of turning away from the bad, try to understand it. You know, there's a lot of things going on around us that we may not agree with or we may not fully get, but we can try to understand. We can try to show empathy for someone else's situation. Empathy and compassion, seeing people where they are, not requiring them to be just like you, but seeing them for who they are, meeting them there, being open and willing to embrace some new ideas, some new perspectives. You may not have all the answers. Now, depending on where you are in your life's journey, you may not have figured that out yet. But take the initiative. Don't wait for something big to happen. You know, if I could give you advice, I would say don't wait as long as I did. You know, start noticing what's going on around you now. not when something tragic or big happens at once that forces you to want to change. Be bold, be brave. Just think about all the missed opportunities you've had to make a difference because you thought, eh, why me? Why me? Be a living inspiration. Live inspired. The dictionary defines the word inspired as to fill someone with, or to inspire is to fill someone with the urge or ability to feel something or do something. Now, on my last show, I talked about John O'Leary. I'm going to mention him again. Kind of carries over to this theme, but John O'Leary is a motivational speaker and an author of On Fire, The 7 Choices to Ignite a Radically Inspired Life. John survived a near fatal fire at the age of 9 and now runs a successful business inspiring people around the world. I was reading kind of the excerpts from this article where he gave a keynote to a bunch of business people. And it said, before I heard John speak, I was comfortable that we would feel something as a result of his presentation. What I was unprepared for was the impact he would have in motivating us to do something. The kinds of initiatives that people are undertaking will not only improve their lives, but will help them pay it forward to other individuals, families, and communities. The foundation of John's message is one of purpose and action, grounded in gratitude and based on an attitude of love. A room full of tough alpha dog CEOs didn't roll their eyes or kick each other under the table when John explained that love was the most powerful motivator of all. It made sense. John had us share our scars and discuss our dreams. We laughed, we cried. We also talked about how making a difference is intentional and often comes in the relentless pursuit of expressing love in small ways. John suggests that one act, grounded in love, can not only change your own life, but it can improve or save someone else's life. Think about that. All those chances, instead of waiting for that one big opportunity to make a huge impact, think about all the little things that you can do to create an impact. You know, we've talked about it before, but the positive ripple is such a exciting concept. And if you embody that, you have an opportunity to not only impact those within your wake, so to speak, but those beyond the wake, because everyone that you impact can turn and impact someone else. So even if you can only get your positive energy and your positive service out to the people right around you, think about how you could change their day and they could turn and share it with someone else. Pretty powerful when you think about it that way. John took his adversity and he mustered up all of that courage to help other people see that even through adversity, you can win and you can impact others in a positive way. What a great story. You can listen to his interviews and his podcasts at johnoleary.com. You know, maybe your tone is one of exhaustion. What more can I do? Are you done, spent, ready to take a step back, feeling exhausted? You've exhausted all efforts. Before you reach this point, or maybe you already have, and I'm urging you to backpedal now, but it's time to realize you can't save the world. Sorry to break this to you if this is the first time you've heard it, but you can't. You do not possess the power to save the world. Now, does that knowledge take some weight off your shoulders? No? Okay, let's delve in a little deeper. What got you to this level of exhaustion? Why do you feel like you're out of options? What more can I do? In each scenario, as you kind of run that through your mind, ask yourself this. Why am I responsible? Why am I carrying the weight of the world? Start peeling back the layers, really seeing that true point of your frustration. Maybe your frustration isn't about anyone, but it's about you. Maybe you're tired of always trying to save the world. But you're not really sure what to do. You're afraid to take a step back and really let things just happen like they're supposed to happen. Do you feel like you're ready to throw in the towel? I love analogies. It really helps me put kind of a visual representation to what I'm thinking or trying to say. So in this case, I feel like, you know, before you hit the wall and give up, or as a Roomba would do, let's all visualize a Roomba. It doesn't just shut off when it hits its first obstacle, right? Hits the first obstacle. It doesn't just shut off and power down. It makes small little adjustments until it finds a clear path, right? Small little adjustments. So before you reach that level of frustration and exhaustion where you're just ready to throw in the towel and say, that's it, I'm not trying one more thing, make a small adjustment. When you have that all or nothing type attitude, you are in danger of overgeneralizing. When you overgeneralize, everything becomes a mountain, right? I never get what I want. Nothing ever works out for me. It always is this, right? Have you heard those terms? Have you said those terms? When you do that, you're not being authentic and honest with yourself. Because really, everything you've ever done, or it always works out that way, you can't think of one time it was different. Building resilience is something that takes practice, right? You know, we're taught to never give up. You can do anything you want if you just don't give up, right? We're taught that at a young age. But let's be honest, you need to be aware of all the signs around you, the good and the bad. When things aren't working, you need to be honest about that. You need to evaluate that one situation, kind of break it down to what part is not working. It's not just everything. It's got to be one thing or two things. Strength and resilience don't come from just forging ahead with the same plan, doing it the same way, always hoping for a different result. Strength comes from being honest, evaluating what's not working, and then making modifications. Be open to a new way, a new idea. Again, we don't always have all the answers, and things don't work perfectly out of the gate. Psychologist Adam Grant says, never give up is bad advice. More than 40% of students on graduation day hear this from their commitment speakers. Never give up on your dreams. But as Grant recently said during his own commitment speech, sometimes quitting is a virtue. Part of building resilience is understanding that having grit doesn't mean committing unconditionally to a goal, right? Grit doesn't mean keep doing that thing that's failing. It means define your dreams broadly enough that you can find new ways to pursue them when the first and second fail. Sometimes resilience comes from gritting your teeth and packing your bags. Other times it comes from having the courage to admit your flaws. So stay persistent. But the second it turns to mindlessness, be wise and quit. You know, maybe you are soul searching, asking, what more can I do? Not happy with where you are emotionally or spiritually. Maybe you're questioning your own self-concept and power. Are you just existing in the world today, not really knowing how you fit into it all? Have you bought into all the limiting beliefs that you've picked up through your lifetime, and now they define who you are? Or Are you ready to get to know the real you? Most people simply don't make the time to do a deep soul diving exploration. It's required to really figure out what makes us tick. Most of us are more interested in everything going on out there, right, than what's going on in here, pointing at oneself. A real challenge is we are constantly evolving, morphing into new and updated versions of ourselves. Without a ritualized practice of self-exploration, it can be almost impossible to keep your finger on the pulse of us, you. I remember when my dad told me he was reading the Better Business Bureau and Technology Today to find an appropriate internet carrier. I told him that reading traditional publications about changing technology would never work. So the same thing goes. If you feel like you've got yourself figured out, remember, you're changing all the time. So if you only do an inventory once a year, you're going to lose touch with who you really are. So here are 6 practices for self-discovery. I found these from Lisa M. Hayes. She is the Love Whisperer. She's a relationship coach and a strategist. Number 1, explore your soul through art. Everyone has art in them. It might be words that you want to put onto a page. It might be painting, sewing, pottery, drawing, music, or dance. What it is doesn't matter. What is important is that you express it. So don't say, I have no artistic ability at all. That is untrue, right? Number 2, create environments that make you feel happy and then examine them so you can find out what it is that's making you happy. Get rid of the things that don't bring you joy. Sit in a blank canvas of nothingness until you start figuring out what it is. Paint the walls a color that makes you smile when you look at them. Bring things into your space that make you happy. Then throw it all away and start over regularly. Remember, you're always changing. Photograph everything and then notice what you're capturing. We live in an age of digital photography. Everyone has a camera on their phone, so there's no excuse. Photograph everything. Your eye sees things your brain may not notice. Be curious about the patterns that start to emerge. You will start to get clues about your personal sense of style. You'll start to see beauty where you might have normally missed it. You know, something looks good to you as a full picture, right? You sort of frame it up. What is it about that? Was it the color, the shape, a sunny day, flowers? You know, what is it that draws your attention? Those are great things to notice about yourself. Make a new friend and observe yourself from a fresh perspective. Isn't that great? New friends don't know your past. They see you with fresher eyes than you might even see yourself. In the most innocent way possible, new friends see the real you. Exploring yourself through the lens of someone else who doesn't know you will give you insights into how you show up in the world without your stories of who you actually are. Be vulnerable with a stranger and be curious about how that feels to you. Notice how it feels to be present with someone who knows very little about you. Practice feeling emotionally safe and all the uncertainty that goes with that. Challenge yourself to a bigger than usual risk. Now, I'm not talking bungee jumping or anything like that, but observe yourself pushing your limits and see what comes up. You will find all your insecurities lurking at the edge of your comfort zone, and most of them probably aren't even valid. Explore how it feels to stand squarely in the uncertain. Do it for self-exploration's sake alone. Let go of the habit of controlling outcomes and just experience yourself doing and being something new. If you want to break your routine, that's the best thing to do. Get comfortable with the discomfort of speaking your truth without apology. Your truth is what makes you uniquely you. Speaking it makes you visible, and visibility is vulnerable. Vulnerability is rarely comfortable, but it's worth it. You deserve to take up space in your own life. Speaking your truth is the only way to do that. Other people don't have to like or agree with your truth or even own it. Truth is not the territory of popular contests. It's the foundation of authenticity. You can't ever fully experience yourself until you own and speak your truth. Now, we're on a roll here, so let's not stop now. You need to look inside, really get to know yourself. Let's keep exploring by introducing and organizing the experiences on the outside, right? I want to experience more excitement, more peace, more joy. What more can I do? Give me more things to do, right? Well, first, try getting organized. Start with your schedule. How do you spend your time? Are you running from appointment to appointment, event to event, and ending your day exhausted and possibly overstimulated? Get an aerial view. We talked about that in the beginning. Get an aerial view. Look at your month to see how you can maybe consolidate things, move some items and events around, create more time for yourself. Start delegating. No need to be a hero here. All good managers delegate responsibilities. And if you want to be a good manager of your life, then possibly start delegating. Look around you. What does your environment look like? What does your car look like? What does your desk look like? Are you tidy and organized? Or does your surrounding reflect your overworked and overbooked schedule? Right? Too many piles of file 13? Try to remove the chaos by decluttering your life so that you have room to truly focus. Easier said than done, right? Start with your garage or a closet that continues to weigh on your nerves. Letting things go is freeing. And guess what? It's pretty contagious. Once you tackle one of those big projects, you're going to look at your other rooms a little differently. Try stimulating your brain. I mean, how many schedules do you mentally manage? With all the apps and devices we have today, there is zero reason to use your brain as a filing cabinet. And depending on where you are on your journey, boy, we run out of hard drive space, right? So is it really just old age and the ability to forget things? Or have we ran out of space? Find a system that works for you and unload. Think about the types of new information you introduce into your brain. Are you challenging yourself, learning something new, or are you stuck in a routine of mindless information? Just like you don't want to feed your hunger with empty calories, you don't want to babysit your boredom with senseless information. Your mind is craving something new. Stimulate it with a new challenge, a hobby, a new skill, a new adventure. Think outside the box here. What have you always wanted to try, and for whatever reason, you've been putting it off? There's got to be something that you've always wanted to try. What's preventing you from doing that? Socialize. You don't need to have a big group of friends to socialize. Consider a date with someone you'd like to get to know better. Maybe someone from work, the new guy, or a person you might have just been introduced to. This is a great time to tell your favorite stories that your lifelong friends have already heard, right? Getting to know someone new is an intentional act, and it doesn't just happen by creeping on Facebook. Remember, the things people share on Facebook are what people want you to know. No one's going to share their fears, their desires, their challenges, not in an authentic way. But sharing your goals, your struggles with another human being develops a bond that social media just can't emulate and produces a nice, healthy dose of chemical releases. Try attending a networking group. Now, this doesn't have to be a business group. And if you are retired, consider something like Senior Connect, a chance to get together with people that you don't know. There are millions of people, billions of people. Why limit yourself to just a few? Open up to someone else. You would be surprised at what you might have in common and how many more people are craving those same types of connections. It's not just you. And if you're sitting there alone thinking, I wish I had some new friends. I wish I had more to do. I wish I had more socializing. You are not the only one thinking that. You know, attending an open house or a ribbon cutting or some sort of event gives you a chance to shake hands, see new faces. My point is, you can't socialize if you don't make the first move or you don't at least accept the invitation. Right? How many times have you been asked to stuff and you've just kind of blown it off? Kind of tired tonight, not really into it. Push yourself. Push yourself out of your routine. I don't even want to say comfort zone because you kind of get sort of wired into your routine where things are safe and predictable. But push yourself. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a singles trip or something crazy off the get-go. Just push yourself to do one thing. Say something to someone new. Put yourself in a position to take advantage of those situations. If you don't ever put yourself there, it's never going to happen. Now, alone time. That is important. As you know, I'm all about connections, but I do believe in a healthy balance of alone time. Spending time to quietly reflect and listen is important. Unplug. Let the world around you or the stillness of your favorite spot be your simulation. It's up to you. This could mean a nap, a new book, daydreaming, going for a walk, meditating. It's up to you. That's the beauty of me time. It's mine, and I get to make all the decisions. Today, we overstimulate with multitasking. It's rare just to sit still without checking a device for the latest news or gossip. Imagine it like a coloring book versus a blank page. Give your mind the freedom to wander and wonder. Journal your thoughts or what you see around you. Keeping a journal isn't just a way to leave a legacy for people around you, but it's to remind yourself of happy times and interesting thoughts that you may want to reflect on. You know, we really don't know. You may have a wonderful mind right now where you can remember every little detail of your childhood. But like I said, that hard drive runs out at some point, and you may want to recall some of those moments in detail. So don't get bogged down with the idea that a journal has to be a diary and it has to be daily and has to be chronological. And that puts a lot of pressure on journaling. So instead, just think of it as when something cool happens or you have a free moment, jot something down. I know I've ran across some of my mom's just jots at, you know, something that she might have done at the computer or at her desk. And it's pretty cool to read those kinds of things. So imagine looking back over those things, recalling those situations. You can get a wonderful, happy chemical release from recalling memories. Help yourself out. Write them down. Try changing up your routine. Add something new. You know, after you organize your schedule, you might find a little more time to add something new. Keep it fresh and exciting by adding something new frequently. New routines can create anticipation. And I'm going to say it again, anticipation releases happy chemicals. See, I'm going to just keep you happy. Make it a part of your daily, weekly, or monthly routine, because this means you have a better chance of doing it more often. When it becomes dull or too predictable, that's the beauty of it. You can change it up. Evaluate your routine now. Do you get up, make the coffee, time to go to work, time to set, 8 hours of this, staff meeting, go home, make dinner. Where can you infuse something new? Just something new. Change it up. Take a new way home from work. Be able to go the long way, go through the park, see the beauty of the world around us. Sometimes we can get in such a routine that, it feels like we don't even look up. When's the last time you just looked up at the clouds or looked at the trees or noticed someone's lawn? Sometimes we just keep our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and we just stay focused on what's right in front of us. We forget to get that bigger perspective. And that's so, so important. Move in fun ways. Obviously exercise is necessary, but there's all kinds of ways to move. With time by yourself, why don't you try turning on the music and just dance? You can get a great workout, overcome stress, release dopamine, and stimulate your mind. Dancing is a nice transition, giving the busy day some kind of closure, right? Just dance it off. You have that favorite song. You're thinking of it right now, that favorite song, the one that you find it hard to sit still through, right? You're bopping all around. Let go and let it out. Create a playlist of that one and more. That's the beauty of something like YouTube or Pandora. They're going to suggest, based on that song, they're going to suggest a few more, keep you dancing. Pull the shades down if you feel bad about it or if you feel like someone's watching. I think there's a line in a song, dance like no one's watching. Just let it go and get some frustration out. Have a little fun with it. Life is so serious. If you can let go and have a little laughter, find the beauty in that, you can really de-stress. Try self-soothing. You don't have to go out to an expensive spa. You can do a lot of those things at home. Take a bubble bath. Massage your own hands and feet. You can give yourself a manicure and a pedicure. And let me just tell you, this is not gender specific. Anyone can enjoy pampering themselves, right? Practice restorative yoga. You can find yoga on YouTube. And most TVs now a lot of TVs are smart TVs, so you can watch it right in your living room. You could do a quick yoga routine. There's tons of apps. There's a 1 minute breathing app all the way to meditation apps. The point is, you can spend a little time in self-care because you deserve it. And there's plenty of outlets to help you do that. Take a moment. The first time I did yoga during the workday and I was working from home, I thought, this doesn't feel like a workout. I'm not sweating. I don't feel like I'm working out. And then about halfway through, I realized I'm supposed to be relaxing. I'm supposed to be mindful. I'm supposed to let things go from work and just focus on something more than the stress I've had through the day. And that's part of the workout. So once I got my head right, then I saw the benefits of yoga. But, when I'm looking for that, jazzercise type feeling, I wasn't getting that. Try giving. Giving a compliment, giving encouraging advice. Give of your time, give of your resources. It's not just saying, it's not just a saying that your mom came up with to keep you in line. It's actually better to give than to receive. Research looking at the reward-related aspects of giving reveals some interesting findings. For example, giving to others leads to an increase in self-esteem and self-worth. One study found that giving money to a charity actually led to the release of more feel-good dopamine than it did winning the same amount of money in a lottery. Pretty amazing, huh? So clearly, lending a helping hand, lending money, whatever that may be, it actually does us good. When we, that means both humans and animals, give care to another, we experience a drop in the stress hormone, cortisol. In other words, when we do good things for others, we experience a reduce in stress in our own bodies. Since stress has a negative impact on health, reducing stress through these types of acts can actually help us live longer and healthier lives. Can you imagine? Just doing something for someone else could actually help us. There are so many different ways that you can give back. And giving without receiving is such a wonderful, wonderful gift. You know, I started in volunteering by starting a women's outreach to help women get back to work. I just felt it was such an important skill to have the right outfit, to have a resume, to have the right words to say, to really be prepared for an interview. And yes, that is super important. But I learned the biggest lesson from that whole exercise, and that was encouragement. Encouragement is the life source. You can be motivated. I've said it before. You can have motivation. And sometimes we skip encouragement. We go right to motivation and people think, oh, I got to get motivated. And self-motivation, keep calm, carry on, all this stuff. But we forget, if you're at that point where you don't really even have a goal yet, you've got lots of tragedy or chaos or different things that you're dealing with, you don't even have a goal yet, then you're not going to get motivation. You've got to get encouragement to reach that next step. You can do that. That is of giving of your soul without even giving of your time or giving of your resources. You can give of your own spirit, your own energy, and encourage someone else. So I appreciate sticking with me tonight as we talk about what more can I do. Remember, you are not looking at it as one question. We looked at it as a plea. What more can I do? As a frustration, what more can I do? As a self-reflection, what more can I do? And as an exploration, what more can I do? Bring it on, right? We looked at all different ways we could explore this topic, and I hope you've written a few of those ideas down, because there's some pretty amazing stuff in there that might bring some more joy and excitement to your life. So I am going to challenge you. Are you ready? To explore your interpretation of questions like this. Look for other meanings and a chance to actually do more. Reward yourself with new experiences, new connections, and the freedom of letting old routines that no longer serve you go. Step outside the same old, and adopt some of these ideas. Change it up because you deserve more. And I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.